We're going to talk today for just a, let's see here, we get there, here we go. There it is. Look at that. Look at that picture. How many know what that picture is? It's a guy looking down at some grasshoppers. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Almost. That's right. You know why? Who can see the giant? How many can see the grasshoppers? Wow. That's a biggie. Amen. That's a biggie. You know, a man paid a visit to the local psychologist. When the doctor asked him what had prompted him to the visit, the man said, "I'm suffering from an inferiority complex." Over the past few weeks, the psychologist began to put his patient through some extensive battery of tests. Next came the long way while the test results were being evaluated. Finally, the doctor called him in for another consultation for the test results. The doctor began, "I have some interesting news for you." And the man asked, "What's that?" He said, "You don't have a complex. You are inferior." Wow! Thanks, Doc. You're awesome. So, we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about rejecting the grasshopper mentality. Get your Bibles out and turn. We're just going to read a few verses to start with. Then we're going to go back and read some more. Get your Bibles out. We're just going to read chapter 13.
Trying to stop them dead in their tracks. Because we
we know greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. We love you, God. We thank you for all things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Rejecting the grasshopper mentality. Crazy living, Land of the Giants, part 3. All right, I don't know how many parts it's going to be. It might be another part of this one, and we may stop, because I won't plan on doing this one. But the Lord showed me, and I just really believe that He showed me to keep on going with this idea because of the things that we're facing in this world. And the troubles that not only are mounting on us, they're over-mounting on us and surmounting us. So watch this. Very important. God sends forth 12 spies. We'll talk about it in just a second. But the 12 spies go over to the promised land and they search it for 40 days. I'll say 40. That's important. They search it for 40 days. And when they come back, they're carrying the grapes and the fruit on sticks between their shoulders, on staffs, because it's so big. And it's exactly like God said. It was flowing with milk and honey. One thing they really hadn't counted on at the time was that we're going to have to fight also. You got to understand, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they had a slave mentality. And God needed them to develop a warrior mentality. It's like this, when people get delivered and they get in with God, when people stand up and let God begin to use them, when people decide they're no longer going to be held captive by whatever that is that's holding them down, but they're going to stand up and they're going to be strong, remember, they're stepping out of a slave mentality into a warrior mentality. And just to know this, and that is not always easy. That's why it's important that we look at stuff like this, look at God's Word, look at these stories, and we understand that we weren't the first ones. We're not going to be the last ones that suffer. Switching from the slave mentality to the soldier mentality. From being overcome to being overcomer. So now watch this. The Bible said God's best was about to come. Here they are, they're on the brink. They're right there. They're stopping. And God says, before you go, I want y'all to have a little peek of what I'm talking about. So, He's telling them the best is yet to come. That's their divine mission. For y'all out here today, we just said that. That's our very first thing we saw when we come in this morning. The best is yet to come. Watch. God sent the best of the best to get people prepared. Like John the Baptist prepared people for Jesus, these 12 spies were to prepare people for what was coming. So, He sent the best of the best leaders of every tribe, one leader from every tribe. He sent the best of the best, the divine commission, to bring back the news and show these people that we can do this. But they became, listen carefully, the best of the best became the worst of the worst. How? They went over in faith. And they saw the promises through faith. But when they were trying to transfer from a slave mentality to a soldier mentality, and not realizing that these guys just aren't going to move out of the way, they're going to have to fight. And these guys are so big, they come back and give a bad report. And so they give this bad report. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them. Let me tell you something. People are watching you. Sometimes you're saying, won't you give me a break? Do you think I just can't do this? What do you think? Why are you looking down on me so much, not realizing sometimes they're just a reflection of what you're doing to yourself? You have this mentality, and people see this mentality, so they're reflecting what they see. So let me ask you a question. What are you reflecting? What do people see? When they see you, what do they see? Are they watching a warrior or a worrier? Are they seeing somebody with a slave mentality or somebody with a soldier mentality? You say, well, the decision is not theirs. The decision is yours. The grasshopper mentality. First is self-defeating. When Satan sees you with this mentality, he barely has to lift a finger. You're saying, well, the devil's defeating me. Sometimes it's not the devil. It's you. If you've got the grasshopper mentality, you are defeating yourself. Not only is it self-defeating, it's self-limiting. You'll go with the promises of God as long as it doesn't seem out there. As long as it doesn't seem awesome. As long as it's just really close by. It's the low, shallow water. When Jesus, when Peter and them, they had caught, they fished all night, hadn't caught anything. He said, let's go out and catch it on the other side. These guys were used to fishing close to shore. So in case of storms, they wouldn't get caught in a bad situation. And it was so deep out there, they stayed close to the shore. Jesus says, go ahead and take it out. Go ahead. And so they listened to him. And he said, but we had caught it. They said, catch it on the other side. It's amazing. Let down your nets for a draw. Whoa. Sometimes we defeat ourselves. Sometimes we provide our own limits. Twice Jesus got his disciples and said, you're going to have to go out, you got to catch on the other side, because I got something for you. And then there's a perception. We carry ourselves and our abilities like we're grasshoppers. And we wonder why people look at us and say, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to help us at your job, with your family, with your friends. So what? Real carefully watch this. Here it is again. Israel is standing on the brink of the promised land. God had just delivered them through the 10 plagues, about a 9-month journey. 10 plagues, God had delivered them out of bondage. He led them through the Red Sea. Now they're approaching the land flowing with milk and honey. But instead of stepping forward into an 11-day journey, 11 days, that's all it's going to take. 11 days, and they were going to participate with all this blessings of God. They were going to partake of all the blessings of God. 11 days. Y'all say 11 days.
11 days.
But they hesitated. Why? Why did these guys hesitate? Why did they not realize that if God said it, he was going to do it? Because they saw giants in the land. And they considered themselves grasshoppers. Anybody see any giants lately? Sickness? Disease? On your job? Family problems? All these things happening. Oh, they might not see a real giant in the land of promise. When you're facing sickness, disease, money problems, there's giants. And as your focus shifted from God to yourself, and you see yourself as a grasshopper, to these giants. You see, this is the mentality that we often adopt in our lives. We see the challenges. And when we see the challenges, we feel small, insignificant, incapable. We look at our own abilities and our own strength, and we feel like grasshoppers. You know, out of all the things I do in counseling, just about at least 65-70% of counseling that I do, I wind up dealing some way, somehow, during all the trouble, during all the problems, people wind up developing a little grasshopper complex. Maybe not big, maybe it's small, but it's still the building process. And so I spend more time getting through this before I can get through to the problem. Same thing in marriage counseling. I tell them all the time, we're stopping the bleeding. And for some of you to stop the bleeding, then we're going to work into the problems. And when we're stopping the bleeding, what we're doing is usually when I'm stopping the bleeding is dealing with the grasshopper complex. This is not how God sees us. It's not how He wants us to see ourselves. I'm not going to keep you long today. I always say that. God, I can get a little closer so I can look at this. Y'all can see this. I am who God says I am. I am His child. I'm destined. I'm chosen. I'm free. I'm healed. I'm an overcomer. I'm never alone. I'm wise. I'm light on the hill. I'm cared for. I'm saved. I have a new purpose. I'm accepted. I'm sought after. I'm strong. I'm a joint heir. I'm adopted with. Righteous. Wonderfully made. Wow. And you just keep on going. What God says about us. The question is, what do we say about us? You see, you got to understand the perception of ourselves. How we see ourselves affects how we behave. It affects how we interact with others. It affects how we face challenges. If we see ourselves as grasshoppers, we're going to act like grasshoppers. We're going to shy away from challenges. We're going to feel overwhelmed by obstacles. We're going to doubt our ability to make a difference. I was praying, and I asked God, I said, God, show me something about grasshoppers. I need some characteristics of a grasshopper, of locust. And I believe this was hot off the press from God. Number one about a grasshopper, a locust, is they're small. Again, inferiority complex. The Bible says, Jeremiah 1, He said, but I'm but a child. I can't do this. He says, don't say I'm but a child. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. You're going to minister to the nations. Timothy, God says, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but the power and the love and of a sound mind. We never have to feel small when we got God on our side. We never have to doubt Him that He's got us. So first, they're small. Secondly, a grasshopper has an exoskeleton. You know what an exoskeleton means? It means that he doesn't have internal bones. He's got an exoskeleton, which means all his stuff is just inside, but it's protected from the outside. When you find yourself with a grasshopper mentality, your strength only comes from outside sources. But the Bible clearly says in John, 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Next thing about a grasshopper, they're afraid to travel alone. Always got to be in groups. Paul said, 2 Timothy 4, 17. When my time came, no man stood with me. Nevertheless, God stood with me, and he strengthened me. Also, if you see locusts coming, they always bring destruction. Wow. The Bible says, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Usually a grasshopper's going to blame everybody else for what's going on. They're going to blame everything, everybody else. They're going to play the blame game, the blame game, the blame game, the blame game. They're looking for somebody else. It's always somebody else's fault. Destruction, destruction. I'm not a grasshopper. Next, the only defense of a grasshopper is a sleeping ability. They never stay in fight. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Look at somebody and say, I'm not a grasshopper.
I'm not a grasshopper.
Just somebody else. I'm not a grasshopper.
I'm not a grasshopper.
A grasshopper mentality causes a distorted view. Inward first in our own eyes. And once we begin to see ourselves as this, outward other people see us as what we see ourselves. This is amazing. The Canaanites saw 12 people they'd never seen before. What did they see? Can you imagine this strange sight? Two giants. Back up, buddy. Here we go. Two giants and 10 grasshoppers. Joshua and Caleb, they were ready. They said they're praying for us. But they wouldn't listen. Matter of fact, through all of this, they wind up suffering an 11-day trip. Became a 40-year march. Not only was it a 40-year march in the wilderness, but everybody 20 years old and up, or above 20 years and up, except for Joshua and Caleb, because they believed the reports of the grasshoppers, they all died in the wilderness. I got to look it up. I was estimated how many funerals they had. But they had a 40-year funeral march. Wow. God's perspective view is not always what you see, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You see a palm. God sees a kingdom. Wow. This is how God sees us. We're his beloved children. Heirs of his kingdom. We're more than conquerors. We will act accordingly. Face challenges with courage, overcome obstacles with faith, make a difference in the world around us. God has got us. So now, here it is. Get ready. Understand our perception of God matters. If we see God as distant, uncaring, powerless, then we feel alone, unloved. But if we see and helpless, but if we see God as he truly is, he's a loving Father, he's a mighty Savior, he's an ever-present help in time of need, then we will feel loved and cherished and empowered. God, somebody say God is awesome.
God is awesome.
All right, ready? Now, our next perception. Remember the perception. The grasshopper complex has got to do with perception. Our perception, and we know all things work together for the good, and then to love God, then to call according to his purpose. Our perception of our circumstances matter too. If we see our circumstances insurmountable, hopeless, as giants, then we feel defeated, discouraged, and despairing. But when we see our circumstances through the lens of God's promises, wow, Once we start seeing God's, or see the circumstances through God's promises, then we see it as opportunities of growth, as stepping stones to victory. We will not feel no longer feel hopeless, but we feel hopeful and encouraged and triumphant. I like, look at this, the Amplified version, Romans 8:28. And we know with confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His plan and His purpose. The last few days of Mighty Army, I've really been hammering this on Mighty Army. I don't know if you get Mighty Army or not. For those who get it, you know what I'm talking about. But Mighty Army, today, God has brought you to this time and season for a purpose. He has big plans for you. Yesterday, Mighty Army, the enemy knows that God has an amazing plan for you. That's why he tries to wipe you out, because you have to fight. Friday, Mighty Army, that anointing in you is driving the devil crazy. Keep applying pressure. Wow. And then the day before that, I sent a Mighty Army that shook the whole thing. The test of Christianity is not loving Jesus. It's loving Judas. Wow. It shook it so hard I had to put a clarification. Just to clarify, it's easy to love our Savior, one who does stuff for us, who saves us, who brings us before God. But we need to be able to love those who betray us, like Judas did Jesus. Wow. So, we need to have a perception of our circumstances, and we need to have a perception of our future. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future, Jeremiah 29:11. Understand this now, our future does matter. If we see our future is uncertain, bleak, or full of giants, then we're going to feel anxious and fearful and pessimistic. If we see our future as God sees it, we're going to know that our future is full of promise and is full of potential. It's full of victory. Then we can feel confident and courageous and optimistic. Here you go, read this again. In the Message version. Really? Ready? There it is. Ready? I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you and not abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. Jeremiah 29:11. Get ready to close. Get ready. DC, come over here and play something. Focus on God, not your problem. Listen to God, not your insecurities. Rely on God, not your own strength. Watch that. That's how we change our perception. We've got to reject this grasshopper mentality. And how do you do it? You do it by renewing your mind in God's Word. When you renew your mind in God's Word, it's amazing how things change. It's amazing. We do it by meditating on His promises versus focusing on your promise. Thank you. possibilities of what God can do versus the boundaries of what is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, help me. Remember that. God, help me to get it in my mind. Let me show you something. It says meditate on his promises. It told Joshua, meditate on his word. The word meditate means to mutter, to say it under your breath. And back down by here, to hear by the word of God, so when it comes out of your mouth, it goes into your ears. That's faith come up by hearing. Then it goes from your head to your heart, and from your heart to your faith. So when all you ever do is rehearse your problems, that's negative meditation. How bad we got it, how bad we got it, how bad we got it. Start meditating on the possibilities. And trust God in all things. I'll say, God's got this.
God's got this.
Say it again, God's got this.
God's got this.
out of it is to get your eyes focused on God and watch what he can do. God, that we are not grasshoppers. I thank you, God, that we are alive and we are well, and you're alive and well, and everything's under control. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless those that are here, bless those that couldn't be, and I thank you, God, for what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and after you say the Lord's Prayer, I ask Brother Steve to dismiss us in prayer. Ain't God good? All the time. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Father God, we just pray you. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for being by our side every moment. Lord, let us look.